How are you guys doing this morning? Good, good. Okay, so we've been talking about being people of lesser gods, right? And we've kind of covered three things, and I thought I'd do one more before I got out of the saddle and did some stuff down south. And so here's a quadrant, and I'm not a huge fan of PowerPoints because I'm kind of a cowboy, and I don't like to get fenced in. And so I really do still believe that the Holy Spirit leads you, and sometimes PowerPoints are prohibitive, sometimes for me personally. Now I understand other people are so disciplined and need to be so correct and to have everything perfectly spelled out that PowerPoints are actually a comfort to them, but they are not to me. So I'm just going to go with what I felt like the Lord put on my heart. How about that? Y'all good with that? And someone said, and if that's if you're the PowerPoint guy and that's too tough on you, I'm so sorry. And so here's urgent, not urgent, important, not important. This is a quadrant that a guy named Stephen Covey came up with years ago, and a lot of people have messed with it. But it's really a good way to look at things. And so what it helps you to do is it helps you to put into place your life, in a sense. And it allows you, if you want to be able to step outside of the tyranny of those things that are not important and those things that are urgent but not important. Right? Now, I got up this morning, and I did a few things to me that are very, very important. One of those was first fruits. And there's a principle from basically almost Genesis all the way through Revelations of being, as a believer, we're to be people who offer our first and our best to the Lord. Now, you understand that's not an urgent thing for a lot. That's not urgency. It's important, but it's not urgent. What was urgent? What was kicking you in your backside this morning when you woke up? And then tell me whether or not that was important, or whether that was urgent, or whether that was not important. You know, are you tracking with me? And so I wake up a lot of mornings with this thing called urgency driving me, rather than what's important driving me. And that's been a hard juggle for me, or getting things in proper perspective. And so why don't we just do something this morning? Why don't we have a little time here and say, what's not urgent? Well, read my Bible. I doubt one of us got up this morning and thought, man, I better get in there and read the Word, right? I bet not one of us got up and go, I better read. I mean, I doubt if it's kicking us in the britches at all, but I guarantee you money was, and what you got to get done today, and what she wants you to get done today, I walked into the bedroom to take a bath, and my wife began to tell me things that she needed to get done today. And I began to file those way back there. And I said, I'm available after 12 o'clock because I got a busy morning, and I'm going to stay totally focused on what's important in my life today. I love you. Okay, now, y'all don't go call my wife up and say, okay, don't do that. You don't want to get whooped by an old man. So, I had a guy from the other day tell me he said I was in a co-op, and he said I was listening to a really old guy and a real young guy, farmers, talking. And he said the young guy obviously had talked about whooping somebody or something. He said, you know what, old men don't like to fight. They'll just kill you because they don't like to fight. I'm not going to hurt anybody. Okay? But what the deal was is that what's important to me today is not necessarily urgent, but it is important. It's really important. How about spending time with my family? Is that urgent? Is it important? Is it not important? What wins the day, guys? What's urgent? So here's some things that are not important to me. A lot of phone calls I get. How many guys in here in this room believe you have to answer every time your phone rings? Why? Why? I bet you can't answer yours every time it rings, can you? And you have to be a little bit more discriminating, right? Right? So I look at my phone and I don't answer it if I don't want to. Why? Because I don't serve that phone. I first serve Jesus. Come on, talk to me now. Right? I mean, really, who are we serving here? Apple? I want Apple serving me. That's why you should buy stock in them a long time ago, okay? Every time. Let them serve you. All right, so a lot of phone calls. How about emails? I don't read every email. I just delete. I just go boop, 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 delete, and then I go and unscribe, unsubscribe, 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 unsubscribe. Why? Because it's not important. Every time you buy something, they want your email address so about 30 other people can email you. I don't got time for that. That's not important to me. There's no urgency in that whatsoever for me. None. Here's what we think. Because it came across our computer, we should read it. Why? Who taught you that? If your phone rings, you should answer it. No! Who taught us that? I promise you, you're not going to miss out on the lottery. Or what is that sweepstakes deal that everybody, you know, they get you to sign up, and they just lead you down a primrose path to eventually you've spent $400 or $500 with them, and you totally believe the next phone call you're going to win is that sweepstakes phone call. They're going to, the next time your doorbell rings, I doubt it. So God doesn't change. So emails. What else could we put over here in not important? TV? You sure you want to do that? Well, them shows get pretty important. Them Dancing with the Stars and stuff like that get pretty important to people. I've got a friend up north. I'll call them. They'll go, and they won't answer their phone. And I realize, okay, it's Thursday night or whatever. They watch Dances with the Stars. They'll call me afterwards. So, okay, you sure you want to go there? Y'all okay with that? Okay, TV. What else? Huh? Talk radio. How many of you have already been convinced that if you don't send $25, the election is lost? How many of you got that one? Yeah, yeah. How many got it through several different venues? Yeah, our media venues, yeah. If you don't send us $25. That sounds like televangelists, doesn't it? Look, if the Lord's not building the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Okay, so talk radio? I got an ugly one to put in here. Some people. I got DeWitt laughing. It's a good morning. Some people. Are we okay with that one? Are we sure we are? Okay. Now, this may not be Christian. Because we need to love everybody and give everybody equal opportunity. That's what the Bible says, right? No, I don't think so, but anyway. But that's how we've been taught to think. Okay. Some people. How about telemarketers? That's in the not urgent. Okay, and not important. All right. Okay, so we could cross some over here, couldn't we? All right. I'd probably need a scribe. All right. So let's talk about, okay, what's urgent for you today? What's urgent? I could say it this way. What's not urgent? Okay, so what's urgent? Breakfast. Let's put that one up there. That's for Pastor. Did Pastor Bill say that? Brother Bill? I'm doing urgent now. What's urgent? What's urgent? No, really. Work. Money. Bills. Bill collectors. Making the note, right? Now I'm okay with those things, and those are important too. Those are important. Work, money, paying your bills. Got any more? That would be. Not urgent, but important, right? So pressing problems. Let's just go through a list. Problems. Yeah, okay, and so how many of you guys wake up with problems every day? Okay. Now I'm going to propose something to you. Come on, guys. How many of you guys wake up and you got to go fix stuff every day? All right, good. Here's what I'm going to propose to you. Those same things will be there tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day because Jesus made this amazing statement. What he said was, "Is don't worry about tomorrow because today has enough concerns of its own." So here's one of the things you can trust is that you're going to wake up every morning with some urgency to do things like this. Pay bills, work, get money, solve problems, things, you know, deadlines. And we got to operate better under a deadline. Yeah, but you know what? You don't operate at your best. You don't operate at your best. Okay, so what's not urgent? Spending time with my friends, hunting, sharing, cooking a meal together. Yeah, that's not urgent, but it's darn sure important to me. It is. What's not urgent? Wednesday night, life groups. Brave hearts. Well, it looks like there's a little bit of concern here, but so we could sit down here and begin to, and then you could get over here and you could say not important and not urgent. A lot of things. We give ourselves to those things every day. This is not important. This is not urgent. This is urgent, but it's not important. And so I have all kinds of people trying to put me in crisis every day. Every day. With their urgency. And you do too. Right? You do too. And a lot of us love crisis because it actually gets us motivated. Now, I want to talk about external motivation and internal motivation. And I'm just going to use my own life as an example because I don't know how to do this any other way. I don't have to have anything to motivate me to get up in the morning, every morning, and spend time with God. And there's nothing, I don't have to be externally motivated to go to work, to provide, to do the things that a man is supposed to do for his family. I don't need any external motivation to do that. God has put that in there through the years. Amen? And if you need things to externally motivate you, guys, then there needs to be a real change in your life. Because if you're going to let urgency and crisis and things that are not important hype you up and motivate you, you're in trouble. Jesus got a visitor one day and said, Lazarus is sick. And Jesus did nothing. He didn't hop the next jet, get on the bus, take the donkey taxi. He just kept doing what he was doing. In fact, he did what he was doing for 4 days. Lazarus was sick because Lazarus died. Jesus shows up, Lazarus dead, and he's so dead that Mary and Martha said, he stinks. He's been dead so long. Amen? And what did Jesus say? You people ain't got much faith. And one of the reasons we don't have faith today is because we're so externally motivated by those things that press us every day, that we lose sight of things that are important, like prayer, study, fasting, listening. I was with my friend Saturday morning, and he said he's been studying Christian apologetics. You know, we don't take time to learn why we believe something or what we believe. This is an urgent. Spending time with, I have to actually create space for my family and get my family to create space, because everything else is after them. Things that aren't important. Now, I know we show up on Friday night and just go nuts over the football games, but I doubt if any of our kids are going to be professional football players. Come on. And we give ourselves to lots of things. So not urgent, but important. And that's the quadrant that every man needs to work on. Right there. There's a biblical principle for this. Let's just go through it right quick. Y'all ready? Are you offended enough now? I mean, has this? We can start feeling that not urgent, not important thing. Wow. You could put lots of stuff over there, couldn't you? It's not urgent. It's not important. I love football. I love sports. But I have to watch out for those things. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. It says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Awesome. Did y'all get that? Now, do you know, understand that the New Testament says that all Scripture is good for what? What is all Scripture good for? Teaching, instruction, reproof, or correction. You know that Paul wrote that before the New Testament was ever written. So what Scripture was he referring to? All right, so all you people who never ever cracked the Old Testament, because you're New Testament people, Paul was telling you that the Old Testament is good for what? Exhortation, encouragement, and correction, right? It's good for those things. It's good for doctrine. It's got some great things to live by. And so Malachi gives us an incredible insight into God. He ain't changing. He is not driven by the urgent, the not important. You see, he's not motivated by any of those things. So when we get into urgency, God is not necessarily into urgency. In fact, he might wait 4 days. You may be stinking by the time he shows up. He's not motivated by that. And we get all hopped up and going and praying. And I remember an old guy preaching one time, and he said, a scared prayer ain't no good. And it's not. The only kind of prayer that's good is a prayer of faith. He's telling the story about it. And I remember doing this as a kid, and I remember this happened to us a couple of times. But he said we were watching a thunderstorm build up in the southwest, and so we were hoeing cotton. And that means taking a mechanism called a hoe and chopping weeds in a row, okay, for all you younger guys. It's not hoeing as you might presume. We were hoeing cotton, and he said we thought we could hoe out to the end of the row and back before the thunderstorm hit. But man, by the time we got to the end of the row, that thing had developed and moved so fast that it was upon us. And he said my mother began to say, oh, help, and started praying all these scared prayers. And he looked at her and he said, Mama, a scared prayer ain't no good. And guys, that's kind of how we live our lives, scared prayers. Instead of building a foundational life that's on purpose and doing what's important, but generally not urgent. So he says, I don't change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. In other words, he said, if I were to change, this would be a place I would change. And if I did change, I'd light y'all up. From the days of your fathers, you've turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? And then he gives them a principle. By giving me the first and the best. And he uses the tithe here in Malachi, and that's part of it. But me giving the Lord my first and my best is way past my money. It's me, my heart, my emotions. I know the peak times in my life. I know the rhythm of my life by now. And I know that my best times, my best hours, that I'm most alert to God, that I'm most studious. And those are the moments that I always give to the Lord. These are yours, Lord. This is your time, because this is my time that I'm at peak in my senses, I'm awake, I'm ready to go, I'm there, I'm alert. I'm going to give this to you. And so he tells, and Malachi says, he says, how are we going to return to you? He said, by giving me your first and your best. How are we going to return? By the way, Malachi was the last book written in the Old Testament. And it's as if God pulled a bow and shot an arrow 400 years over, and it landed as Jesus Christ, his first and his best, his only begotten Son, his first fruit that he gave to us. And so you see this principle taught through Scripture. First fruit, the first of your produce, the first of your increase. If your donkey has a baby, then you have to sacrifice a lamb to keep the first. Which is a picture of what? Which is the picture of what? That God would sacrifice the Lamb of God for a bunch of jackasses like us. Come on, talk to me, guys. Right? That's all that is. It's a picture of, you see, if your donkey has a baby, you had to go kill a lamb to save the donkey's baby. Well, that's us. That's a picture of humanity, isn't it? Yeah. You know, I told you that deal about my buddy preached a sermon on Jezebel and the jackass. Well, I got another text this last week that I thought was awesome. It said, who are you going to vote for, Charlie Sheen or Tanya Harding? I said, I'm thinking of abstaining after you put it that way. All right, so y'all get the principle, and it's all through the Bible, Exodus 23:19. You shall bring the choice of the first fruits of your soil into the house of the Lord your God, and you are not to boil a young goat in the milk of its mother. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be overflowing. Exodus 13:12, you shall devote the Lord the first offspring of every woman, the first offspring of every beast that you own. The male belongs to the Lord. And so here was the principle that every Israel lived with. It was a faith principle, because here's what they were going to say. The first is going to get offered or given to the Lord. Now, how do you know you're ever going to get another one? How are you going to know? You don't. Therefore, it is a faith offering. Well, God, I might not get another job, and I might not get that plowed, and I might not get this done. Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to give my first and my best and believe that I am going to get that. You understand the principle? You always gave your first and your best. How did you know you were ever going to get another one? I just gave my first lamb to God. That's the first lamb that you had. What if she goes barren? It's a faith offering. Here's the one about the donkey. It's Exodus 13, 13. It says, but every first offering of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Picture, picture, picture. Old Testament picture. New covenant reality. But if you don't redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And if you did, just think about that. If you broke its neck, how do you know it? You get another one. What was the temptation for them to do? To what? Keep it. What's our temptation every time we walk up here and to that basket? What's your temptation? Keep it. I'm sorry. And every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem with a lamb. Do you think that was a picture? I do. I think it was. For God so loved the world that he gave a lamb, the Lamb of God, his only begotten Son.
Yes.
John said, when he saw Jesus, remember what John said when the first time he says, behold, behold, the Lamb of God that will take away every broken neck. There will be no more broken necks. He'll take it away. Leviticus 27:30 says, thus all the tithe of the land, the seed of the land, and the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It's holy to the Lord. If therefore a man wishes to redeem part of his tithe, in other words, if he hasn't been tithing, he wants to redeem it, then he adds a couple of fifths to it, and he can redeem it that way. I don't know about that practice, but my advice is don't get behind. Why? Would you want to put your bank account under a curse? No. So it's a principle. It's a principle of first fruits. And you're going to find it in the New Testament as well. It's just not Old Testament. New Testament, give and it shall be given to you. Amen. Give to it. And here's how I've learned to give, without expectation. I don't give with expectation. I just give. I just sow. I know that if I'm a sower, it comes back to me. I'm not going to try to format how it's going to come back. Come on, guys. How many of us do that? We give and we go, okay, now here's how I expect it to come back. No, don't do that. I've learned to love those who don't love back. I've learned to give to those who can't give back. I mean, what kind of big deal is it if I take you out to eat and then you take me out to eat next week? Takes out somebody to eat who can't repay you. Or take them to a place that it's so expensive that they can't take you there. Come on, guys. Give. What does that do? That breaks the spirit of mammon, materialism on us. It breaks it on people. It breaks that spirit of mammon. And Jesus said unequivocally and uncategorically, you can't serve God and money. And so if your temptation is to keep, every time he says open your hands, if that's your temptation, you're in the throes of learning and discovering whether you're going to serve mammon, materialism, or God. One of the great ways that can help you work out of this is by figuring out what's important but not urgent, and learning how to give yourself to this quadrant right here. I understand today that I've got a meeting to go to at 8:30 that I've got to be at. At 9:30 I've got a meeting to go to. I've got to be at those meetings. I'm prepared for both of those meetings. I've taken time. I've gotten prepared. In fact, I prepared for one of the meetings that I'm going to be at this morning. I'm prepared for it in July of this year. I'm ready to go. I don't have to be externally motivated. There's nothing got to kick me in the britches. If your wife has to run your butt out of the house every day to go to work, shame on you. Really? This is Bravehearts, right? You better be pretty brave some days to say what I say and to listen to what I say, okay? But really, I'm not. You're not going to have to externally pressurize me up for me to get ready for those things that are important in my life. So, when are you going to start giving your time to your family? When the divorce papers are just around the corner? When your kids are showing signs of going off in the wrong direction? No, you better start laying those foundations early in your life, guys. How do you do it? By just learning this simple principle of giving your first and your best to what's important. And what's important is not always urgent. And the temptation is here. This is just, we're lost when we get down here and we're doing all that stuff. You understand how lost we are today? We're lost boys. Still answering phone calls we don't need to answer, answering emails. It's not important. I quit trying to save my reputation years ago. It's not important. Jesus didn't try to save his. It's just stuff that's not important. Amen. Y'all want to stand up? Let me pray over you. I won't be here for a while. Hope to be back soon. So we could say that some of these are lesser gods, aren't they?
Yes.
Those are, and this is what we are. We're children of lesser gods. And we need to become sons of the greater God. Sons of God. I know that if I'll give him my best, he's already given me his best. Why should I ever doubt that he wouldn't just keep filling my barns, in my house, in my heart, in my family, in my church? This is a blessed church, isn't it? You know why? Because we have people who know how to give in this place. This is the most giving church I've ever been a part of or seen. We have people look at what we've done and go, this just never happens. The architects out here at the building that we've just built made this statement. These guys, their specialty is doing churches. They've done them all over the United States. Their comment was, we have never, ever seen anything like this church. We will, by the time it's over, have given something like almost $1 million in gifts in kind to this project out here. That's amazing. That's amazing. And no one had to externally motivate people to do this. You know, when you have to have a hot shot hit you, you're just cattle. Right? I don't like the prod. How about y'all? I just don't like it. You see, we did this without being externally motivated. It came out of people's hearts. Praise the Lord. Let me bless you guys this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless these men. May your face shine upon them. And may they reflect your goodness, Lord. And may your radiance and the glory of your life rest upon their heads and upon their families. God, may they find what's important in their lives and give themselves to what's important. Not what's urgent, not what's unimportant, but they'd be able to give themselves to a lasting foundation, that they would find this principle of firsts and begin to give their first and their best to you, not as a way to motivate you, God, but as a way to build a foundational life with you. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.